Hallelujah. Come on, we're going to have a good time in the presence of God this morning. He did a good job at introducing me. I don't need to talk about myself, so let's get right into it. Let's lift our hands all over this place. Father, we come before you in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. We thank you, Lord, that you are the giver of every good and perfect gift. Lord, that your word says the Lord is good and his goodness endures forever. Lord, that there's no shadow of turning in you. There's no difference in you from what you used to do and now you do today. Lord, we know that your word says in Hebrews 13:8 that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. Lord, then we thank you that today the same works we saw you do in the Gospels, the same works we've seen you do in the book of Acts, we thank you, Father, that they shall be accomplished today in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. I thank you, Father, that not one person leaves here today the same way they came in, but the same Spirit which raised Jesus Christ from the dead, I prophesy, will come on every single person's body, in their spirits and in their souls, to completely transform them, that they might be able to eat and to be recipients of the very blessings that Jesus Christ purchased for us at the cross. We thank you for your blood. We thank you for what we did this morning, the Passover meal. We thank you, Lord, that your word says we've been redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, been translated out of the power of darkness and into the kingdom of your Son, where we have redemption now and the forgiveness of our sins. We thank you, Lord, that he whom the Son sets free is totally and completely free indeed. Therefore, every person in this place, Father, I pray as they leave this place today, they would have not just a sense of freedom, but have experienced the freedom which is in Christ Jesus in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And everybody says? Everybody says? Hallelujah. You guys are great, by the way. Just fantastic. I travel quite a bit, and we have all kinds of different, you know, musicians and bands, and some of them, it's like I wait in the back till they're over because it's just awful. But these guys are awesome. Awesome. Hallelujah. Amen. Well, we're going to have a great time today. You know, the Bible says, like I quoted when I was praying, he whom the Son sets free. Jesus said this in John 8:31 and 32, that if you abide in my word, then you are truly my disciples, and I will set you free. And whom the Son sets free, the word, when you abide in it, when you know that truth, will set you free. And whom the Son sets free is free and totally and completely free indeed. Can you say amen? That's why there's a lot of preachers that are preaching around, you know, that, you know, just because you're saved doesn't mean anything's going to be different for you. Just because, I mean, I hear them all the time. Just because you're saved doesn't mean you can go out and think you'll be healed now. Just because you're saved doesn't mean things are going to get easier. They're just going to get worse and worse. But glory to God, we'll finally make it to heaven. But that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible doesn't relegate salvation to only a future thing. It says in the Bible that bodily training is profitable, of little value. But training for godliness and serving God is profitable in all things, not only in the life to come, but in the life that now is. That's why we have a lot of people in the church that are weak, pathetic, bruised, sick, and destroyed, because they haven't come. What did I say? They shall know the truth, and the truth shall set them free. Not in 5,000 years, not when Jesus comes back, but right now, today, in Jesus' mighty name. That's what Jesus taught. That's why the Bible says in Matthew chapter 8 that he went at evening. They began to bring to him all those that were possessed and demon possessed. And he began to cast them out with a word, and he healed all those that were sick amongst them, that it might be fulfilled. That it might be fulfilled what was spoken by the prophet Isaiah, that himself took. Everybody say took. Himself took our infirmities and took our sicknesses, that by his stripes we are healed. If Jesus already took my sicknesses, if Jesus already took my weakness, if Jesus became sin, and if Jesus became sickness, and if Jesus became depressed, and if Jesus became anxious on my behalf that I might become the righteousness of God, then I'm going to take it all. I'm going to eat. The table's prepared. He said, I'll prepare a table for you in the presence of your enemies. All you got to do is take a chair, pull up to the master's table, and start feasting on the goodness of the Lord. Can you shout amen? I want to preach a sermon today called My Case is Different. Everybody say, my case is different. Say it like you believe it. My case is different. You are not like everybody else. You are not like everybody else. Your case, your testimonies shouldn't look like everybody else's testimonies. Your life shouldn't have any resemblance from anyone else that's not here today. You should have a drastically different life. Not because you're some special person, but because the Bible says that when we are redeemed, we are translated out of the kingdom of Satan, out of the power of Satan. He's lost his grip on your life. He should have killed you when you had the chance. But now that you've been saved and have come to the knowledge of the truth, you are to live a drastically different life than anyone else in your family that doesn't serve the Lord. And that's not just trying to get your hopes up. That's scripture, man. That's scripture. Turn your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 2. Ephesians, the second chapter. Let me tell you, we're going to have a good day. Doesn't matter what the devil's done to you. Doesn't matter how beat down you are from this week. Doesn't matter how terrible the last year has been. Doesn't matter how bad the last 6 months have been. Doesn't matter if your business went down. If the doctor gave you an even worse report. My God is still able to reverse the irreversible. He's still able to change the unchangeable. He's still able to redeem the unredeemable. He's still able to do the undoable. He's the God who the Bible says the mountains melt like wax before him. He's still Jesus Christ seated high above every power and principality. And I prophesy in the name of Jesus Christ, you are leaving here holding your testimony in Jesus' mighty name. Ripping my Bible. I get too excited. Rip my Bible. About time we find somewhere in Canada where they're excited for the Word of God. I'm sick of going to churches where you preach like this and all you got is one person going just groaning. I'm sick of it. We need a, this country is not going to get saved just by God's grace and He's going to send His angels. This country's going to get saved when the body of Christ starts to wake up and we start getting off our chairs, not just praising Him in the building, but praising Him out there and start sharing this gospel. For this gospel shall be preached in all the nations as a testimony to them, and then the end shall come. Can you say amen? Canada's not too far gone. I hear one more preacher say that, I'm going to slap him. Canada is not too far gone. Can you say it with me? Canada is not too far gone. All it takes is one. I sought for a man who would stand in the gap and rebuild the walls of righteousness, but I found none. But I'm sitting here with about 100 other people who are sick and tired with the way this nation's going, who are ready to rise up, get filled with the Holy Ghost and fire, and see to it that this generation is not stolen by the devil, but saved by the blood of Jesus Christ. If that sounds like you, shout amen like thunder. Amen like thunder. Ephesians chapter 2. And you He made alive, who were dead in trespasses and sins, in which you once walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that now works in the sons of disobedience. So understand from that passage, there is a devil. Everybody say, there's a devil. The Bible says that you're not to be ignorant, for your devil, your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, seeking one whom he may devour. If the devil had it his way, he would have already had a globalistic agenda propagated throughout the whole. We'd be one world government. But the Bible says there's one restraining him. The Antichrist spirit can't get his way yet because there's still one restraining him. And that one restraining him is not Jesus in heaven. It's the Holy Ghost in us. It's the Holy Ghost in the believer's life that is restraining the move of Satan in this day. Can you say amen? But we got to get up and get things done or else it won't do any good. Jesus is not going to come down and die on the cross a second time. Jesus is not going to come down, wave his hand, and things are going to get better. Jesus is the head of the Bible. You'll read the head of the church. You'll read that in Ephesians chapter 1. Jesus is the head of the church, but we are the body. And a head, if I decapitated my head, I wouldn't be of much use. I have to be connected to the head.
The head by itself can't do anything, and the body of itself can't do anything. But let me tell you, when the head and the body start working hand in hand, we'll start seeing things happen. We'll start seeing the deaf come open, deaf ears coming open. We'll start seeing blind eyes open. We'll start seeing the dead raised. We'll start seeing what they see over in Africa, South America, and India. Canada is not a different God. There is not a different God over this nation. It's the same God over every nation. But God is looking for the one who will say, Lord, enough is enough. Use me in this last period of time. Shout amen. Amen. Among whom, verse 3, also we all conducted ourselves in the lust of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of our flesh of the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, even as the rest. But God, everybody say, but God. But God, being rich in mercy, because of his great love with which he loved us with, even when we were dead in our sins and trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved. Everybody in the church pretty much knows that part. We understand we're saved by grace. Everybody knows that. If I were to give people in the streets understand that Jesus came to save us from sin. But that's not the full gospel. That's just part of the gospel. That if that was the only part of the gospel, bless God, I'd get saved anyways. But the fact that I don't have to go to hell, that's great enough. But there's another part to that gospel. There's more to the gospel than just he saved us from sin. Jesus Christ, and we'll read it right here. Even when we were dead in sins, he made us alive together with Christ Jesus. By grace you have been saved. He raised us up together and seated us with him together in heavenly places, that in the ages to come, he might show us how hard things are going to be, how we're just to, bow our faces to the ground and hope for the best. No, that he might show us the surpassing and exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness to us that believe in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of any man's works, lest any man should boast. So we see here, Jesus didn't just save us. The Bible says after he saves us, he then raises us up and seats us in him in heavenly places. Say it with me. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. Say it again. I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places. You know what that means? It means, I've never been to space, but I know there's people in the world that's been to space. But what do they have to wear? They have to wear an astronaut suit, right? Well, if they didn't have that astronaut suit, what do you think would happen to them? They would die because they don't have a body that is habitable in that airspace. Well, the devil doesn't have a body that's habitable in where Christ is seated. He can't. The Bible says he cannot go any longer to the throne room of God. He can't enter the Holy of Holies anymore. He used to when he was the Lord's angel, but now he's been, the Bible says, I saw Satan cast down from heaven like lightning. So the Bible teaches us that Jesus, and everyone knows Jesus is seated at the right hand of God. But if you'll read on in what I just read, that Jesus has raised us up to be seated in Christ Jesus. I might be here in my body and my spirit, but really, you see me here. But in reality, I'm seated in Christ Jesus. I'm seated in the same area where just like a human being, can't reach space without putting on a suit. Well, and if he does, he'll end up dying. Well, I'm seated in Christ Jesus. And the devil, if he even attempts, that's why the Bible says we are hidden with Christ in God. That the Bible says he covers us, what? With the pinion of his wings. I can't even be found by the devil anymore because I'm seated in a place where he has no right, no jurisdiction, no ability to come up and try and afflict me because I'm seated high above of every name that is named. Can you say amen? Therefore, verse 11, remember that you once were Gentiles in the flesh. Verse 12, that at that time you were without Christ, alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, strangers to the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. You listen to some Christians, you think that that's their testimony now. You think that, remember one time you were once Gentiles, but now since you're in Christ, we're alienated from God, without hope, without God in this world. You hear some people speak, and it's like They don't have a testimony in the last 15 years. It's just how the devil's beat them down, time after time, week after week. Things have not gotten better. It's only gotten worse. But let me tell you, joining hands with Jesus isn't a call to poverty. It's not a call to sickness. It's not a call to defeat. It's a call where the Bible says, as we behold him as without a veil, his glory, we're being transformed into that same image from glory to glory by the Spirit of the Lord. The Bible says that when we come to Christ and we join hands, that his divine power gives us all things. Everybody say all things. All things that pertain to life and godliness. That by these great and magnificent promises found and outlined in the Word of God, we become partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. My brother and sister, if you would see yourself in the Spirit, you wouldn't have your head down. You wouldn't be crying every night before you went to bed. You would understand that Jesus Christ has already won the victory, that he's transferred you out of the kingdom of darkness, and that the devil has no more power over you, for Satan is under your feet. But now in Christ Jesus, you who were once far off have been brought near by the blood of Jesus Christ. For Jesus is our peace, who has made both one and has broken down the middle wall of separation, having abolished. Turn to verse 19. Get this in your spirit. Now therefore, you are no longer strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and members of the household of God, having been built upon the foundations of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ being the chief cornerstone. You are no longer strangers and foreigners, but have now become fellow citizens with the saints.
Well, brother, wouldn't it be nice? Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in the days of Joshua? Wouldn't it be nice if we lived in the days of Elijah? Wouldn't it be nice if I had been born Joshua? Joshua has nothing compared to what you have. The Bible says in Matthew chapter 11, amongst all those born of woman, there has never been one greater than John the Baptist. But he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than John the Baptist, greater than Joshua, greater than Moses, greater than Isaiah, greater than anybody found in the Old Testament. Elisha did great miracles. Elisha did nice stuff. But the great news is that the same Spirit which operated in Jesus Christ, he now lives in us, that we've been bought by a price, that we've been redeemed, not with perishable items, but with the blood of Jesus Christ. And now we are children of the Most High God. And the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 12, as many as did receive him, he did gave him power to become children of the Most High God. My sister, my brother, get it in your spirit today. You're not normal. You're a citizen of heaven. You might live on the earth, but you're not of this world. And if you're not of this world, you have diplomatic immunity from all that this world would try to throw on you.
What is diplomatic immunity? An ambassador. The Bible says what? We are ambassadors of Christ, as though God were pleading through us. We beg you, be reconciled unto God. Matter of fact, turn there. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I can quote it, but some people don't believe me. It's in the Bible.
How can you say that? You're telling me. You're telling me that I'm an ambassador. You're telling me.
You know, they all sound the same. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Let's start here. Actually, let's start from 12. For we do not commend ourselves again to you, but give you opportunity to boast on our behalf, that you may have an answer for those who boast in appearance and not in heart. For we are besides ourselves. If we're besides ourselves, it is for God. And if we are of sound mind, it is for you. For the love of Christ compels us, because we judge thus, that if one died for all, then all died. Then he died for all, that those who live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them and rose again. Get this in your spirit. Verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the flesh. Even though we have once known Christ according to the flesh, yet we know him thus no longer. He's saying here, let's read verse 17. Therefore, if any man is in Christ, He is a new creation. Another translation says he's a new creature. He's a new species. He's not the same as he used to be. I'm not human anymore. New species. They call me the species of child of God. Old things. Everybody say old things. Old things have passed away. Old struggles, old mentalities, old problems, old afflictions, old trials. Jesus didn't say the trials of life would be sickness, disease, mental depression, and torment. No, Jesus already said that I took those things on my body. Why would he take things that he would then throw you back into and say, my son, you need to learn a little something. You need to learn a little something. My daughter, you need to get this in your spirit. You wouldn't be able to learn this lesson unless I gave you a little cancer. That's not Jesus. The Bible says every good and perfect gift comes down from above, with whom there is no shifting shadow nor variant of change. Can you say amen? Amen? So when the Bible says old things have passed away, that means everything that the world used to throw at you, everything that Satan used to be able to afflict you when you used to serve him, when you used to go out to the clubs, when you used to smoke, drink, do all kinds of drugs, whatever you used to do, partying, wild carousing, when you used to be divisive, when you used to be, you know, under the Bible says, under the spirit of disobedience, controlled by the spirit of disobedience, which now works in the sons of disobedience. When you used to serve that devil, he had free reign to slap you left side up, right side down, upside down, upside right. He had the reign. He could do anything because you purposely, by your own free volition, stood outside of the tent, stood outside of the dwelling place of the Most High God, and by nature made yourself available from any attack of Satan. But if you made Jesus your Lord and Savior, that means you don't have the same master, the old devil. You have a new master. You come under a new employer. And I'll tell you, man, that employer is the best employer you can ever work for. For if thou shalt serve the Lord thy God, he will keep sickness and disease out of the midst of you. The Bible says, I will put none of the diseases which I put upon the Egyptians, for I, the Lord, am your healer. If you believe that, give a shout of hallelujah. Hallelujah. If any man be in Christ, he is a totally new creature.
Oh, brother, we can't expect that.
Well, everybody say this. What you expect is what you'll experience. Say it again. What you expect is what you'll experience.
Well, Brother Malkanji, we can't expect things to just go our way. You know, Jesus.
They don't even know what they all talk the same. Look like they've been baptized in pickle juice. And they sit in church looking like they passed away 14 years ago and nobody noticed them. It's awful. And then they mislead everybody else. Because the Bible says, when the seed of God's word, which as you can see, I'm not preaching you my opinion. Everything I've spoken has been what? It's been the Bible. Word for word. Direct quotation from Scripture. Because I don't give two hoots about somebody's opinion. I don't care about somebody's view. I only care about what God's view is. I only care about what God's opinion is. I don't care what some backslidden preacher told me that when I had OCD, obsessive compulsive disorder, he started telling me that, you know, this is just Paul's thorn in the flesh. This is just something that you need to go through, something that you need to just, you know, walk through because God's trying to teach you something. You know, you live so many years away from him. Do you really think that God's just going to come and take you out of everything you suffered with? Well, that's exactly what the Bible says. He rescued me from the miry clay. He put me on the rock to stay. And that rock is not a shaky rock. It's the stable rock of God's word. For heaven will pass away, the earth will fade away, but my word shall endure forever. If you believe that, take 10 seconds, clap your hands, and shout unto God. I got saved 5 years ago in 2012. Started preaching about 2-3 years ago. And when I got saved, I told you, I had OCD, panic attacks. I'd had it because I left the church at 13. The church I grew up in had no power, absolutely no power. Nothing interested in me. Why am I going to stay here? You keep telling me Jesus heals the sick. Well, show me a testimony. Nothing ever happened.
So I had no interest. I left. I was smart, man. This obviously isn't working. So I left. Then when I was about 14, 15, I started developing obsessive compulsive disorder. And it started to increase to the point where it take me like 2 hours to get ready. And I'm very low maintenance. It really takes me 10 minutes. I wait for my wife to be done everything she's done. You know, tell me when you're like 10 minutes away from being absolutely done and I'll start getting ready. Because that's how I am. I'm low maintenance. It takes me like 3 minutes to put my hair together, 5 minutes to shower. That gives me 8 minutes, 2 minutes to brush, a minute for brushing my teeth, and a minute to get dressed. So like it really doesn't take me long. But when I had OCD, it took me like an hour and a half to get ready in the morning. And if anyone knows, does anyone know what OCD is? It's an anxiety disorder, mental torment. It's devilish. It's absolutely diabolical in root. Doctors can say whatever they want to say. They can prescribe you medicine. They can tell you, you know, this is just a lack of serotonin in the brain, which is what they tell me. That's exactly what they told me. You have a lack of chemical, I think it's serotonin in the brain. And so that's why you do these things. And at that point, I just agreed. I believed it. I looked online. WebMD said the same thing. All right, must be true. But then when I found out that there is a real spiritual battle in the heavenly places over my soul, then I found out that it's not just some serotonin. I saw Jesus. He healed all those that were sick and cast out those that had devils in them and were mentally oppressed, the Bible says. Epileptics, paralytics. So there is a real battle of your soul. So when I got saved, I had been saved, because I recognized Jesus as Savior. And as long as you recognize Jesus as Savior, you'll be saved. But if you don't realize that He's also your healer, doesn't matter if you're saved, you'll never be healed. It's two separate things, both provided for in the same work at the cross. But you have to have, the Bible says, my people are what? Destroyed because they have no knowledge. My people, so those are His children. They go into exile and captivity because they're ignorant. And Ephesians 4, which I was going to read, but I'll just quote it. The Bible says that you were once Gentiles in the flesh, and were once Gentiles in the flesh in which you formerly walked, and that you were alienated by the life of God because of the ignorance that is in you. Alienated from the life of God because of your ignorance. Not because God didn't want to take you out. Not because God had no desire to heal you. Jesus has already made His desires and will for your life concerning your spirit, your soul, and your body very clear in the scriptures. What did He go about? Did Jesus go around finding healthy people, laying hands on them and said, receive this sickness? And no. He went and found the sick people and laid hands on them and got them healed. Can you say amen? Amen. He found the blind and He said, open up your eyes. And they opened up their eyes. He found the deaf. That's why John the Baptist, when he was in prison and began to doubt that Jesus was the Messiah still, he sent two men to him and said, go and ask Jesus this question. Are you the coming one or should we ask for another? What did Jesus say? Go and tell John the things which you have seen and heard. And he took about a half an hour, healed a few people, raised the dead, and he said, go and tell John the things which you just saw and heard. The dead are raised. The sick are healed. The blind are seen. The deaf are healing. And the gospel is being preached to the poor. And blessed is he who is not offended because of me. You'd be surprised how many people in the church are offended at that message. Oh, that's just the health and wealth gospel. Well, 3 John chapter 1, verse 2. Beloved, I pray and I wish above all things that you would prosper and be in good health, even as your soul prospers. We focus so much in North America on just your soul prospering and making it by the skin of your teeth to heaven. Because look, when we're sick, where do we go? We go to the doctor. When we have problems financially, where do we go? We go to the banks. When we have to raise money, we have chicken dinner sales. But look, that's not the way Jesus made it to be. The Bible says He has made all things available to us that pertain to life and godliness. That's why in Africa, you are seeing the dead raised. I know a man of God who's seen the people. I mean, his name's David Oyedepo in Nigeria. I love that man. He is my favorite teacher in the Lord. And that guy has a 50,000 seater with 300,000 overflow every single week, five times a day. And when they have testimony time, it's not like, well, bless God, Bishop David, I came in here with the sniffles and I'm leaving here half the sniffles. It's a bit better. No, people coming up. I saw it last week. There was a woman who had a stroke for 17 years. She had a stroke 17 years ago and couldn't lift her right arm and the right side of her face was numb. She came running with her wheelchair over her head, yelling, ah! It's true.
And the whole crowd was just like subdued. Everybody like started, it went into a massive praise break. Imagine you have 50,000 people just shouting hallelujah. It's a powerful thing. Enoch Adeboye, another Nigerian minister. You know, I don't hang around with most North American ministers. Because if I do, you'll end up seeing me in 5 years with a little chair over here, a little like music stand, sitting down with my legs crossed, a latte in my hand, ripped jeans, tighter jeans than spandex, and be telling you, here are my thoughts. Here are 6 keys to a cleaner kitchen. Here, you know, like, it's pathetic. And it's no wonder. There's no fear of God in the land. Because the Bible says that through the hands of the apostles, many signs and wonders were wrought. And the great fear of God spread throughout all the people. My brother and sister, it's about time we leave the elementary principles and start getting into the strong meat, where we start seeing signs and wonders, miracles, and diverse gifts of the Spirit that God wants to bear witness in this land. But He needs people who will rise up and say, our case is different in Jesus' name. That sounds like you. Shout hallelujah. So I got saved. And then I had people, like I said, came up to me. You know, this is just God disciplining you. But thank God, I went back to a church that had a good pastor. And he ended up telling me, who told you that? And I told him, that's a load of junk. He told me, that's not true. And he opened up his Bible. Imagine that. A pastor actually opens up his Bible. Thank God you have Pastor Robert. I know he reads his word. So, but, you know, most pastors, they don't. They've read every book on the Bible, but they couldn't quote you one scripture. So they just heard that one person said this once. And then they give that as advice to you. They feed the sheep with that. No wonder the sheep are dead. No wonder the sheep are so frail, weak. Because the sheep aren't even, most pastors don't even read the Bible. So they don't carry the impartation power to get people infected with the same desire to read the Bible. So their whole congregations are biblically illiterate, dumb when it comes to the things of God. And as a result, they suffer. The Bible says, a ruler, a pastor who lacks understanding is a great oppressor. When he doesn't understand what God has done, it's a great oppressor to the people. He just brings it, people come in year after year, never getting delivered, never getting set free. And that's not our fault. I mean, that's not the church's fault. And I'm not talking about this church. As you can see, I've been in a lot of Canadian churches, and I've seen it all. A lot of Canadian churches are just dead. They've never seen God in action. God, they've never seen, you know, someone come off a wheelchair. I've seen it all, man. Not everything. I haven't seen the dead raised yet, but I'll see it. Hang around a few more years with me, and I'll start testifying of those things happening. And not in Africa, not in Peru, not in India, but in Canada, in Jesus' mighty name. So I heard that this was, and you know, the devil wants that to get into your spirit, that this is just God's will for you. Because as long as you think it's God's will, what are you going to do? You're going to sit back down, praise God for it, and not have any fight in you to actually combat that thing. That's why the Bible says, fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold unto the eternal life unto which God has called you, which you profess with a good profession in the presence of many witnesses. Can you say amen? But as long as the devil robs your fight, who's going to fight against God? Who? If you're told poverty is of God, why would you ever want to get rich? And not rich so you can buy yourself a Ferrari. I'm talking about rich so you can fund the gospel. Can you say amen? If you have no desire for that, you're backsliding, man. You have to desire to be rich. The Bible says, let him that is rich share freely in all things. The Bible says to Abraham, you have been blessed to be a blessing. Amen? Because the gospel, how many of you know, like our plan right now, we're already organizing one in November and then 3 next year, is to hold crusades outside. Because if people in the church aren't catching it, I'm going to go and get it. People outside, because new converts, man, they believe it, they latch on, hold to it, they get on fire real quick, and they keep the fire, and then we'll put them in good churches where they don't hear some backslidden preacher telling them that they can't do it, they won't make it, that, you know what, God is actually against you. You know, we'll put them into good churches that tell them that God is for you, God is amongst you, one that helps you, God is for you, God is on your side. If God be before you, who can be against you? And then you'll see a new generation rise up. So we're doing 3 crusades next year, and each crusade has a price to it. Eventually, I want to start packing out stadiums across this nation, beginning with the Olympic Stadium, then going on to the Bell Center, then all the way to Rogers Arena, from east to west, north to south. Do you think it's free to open up the lights at the Olympic Stadium? I already checked. It's $100,000 to just open up the lights. So you see, money If as long as it's in the hands of the wicked, what's going to happen? The wicked's agenda is going to get pushed forward. And that's what we've seen. That's what we've seen throughout this nation. But when the wealth of the wicked, which the Bible says is stored up for the righteous, starts coming into our hands, we can see the gospel packed out in arenas like in the days of Billy Graham. Man, I'm telling you, there won't just be one Billy Graham, but there'll be 100, 200 Billy Grahams per nation, seeing that this gospel is preached in all the nations. Can you say amen? So then finally, my pastor told me, that's not true. And he showed me all the scriptures, Isaiah 53. That surely himself bore your sicknesses. He carried your pains. Yet we esteemed him smitten, stricken of God and afflicted. Yet he was pierced through for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And by his stripes you are healed. Then I saw in 1 Peter 2:24 where the Bible says in his own body, he bore my sins on that tree, that we being dead to sin might live unto righteousness. By whose stripes you were healed. And I'm telling you, man, I saw that. It came into my spirit. Then finally, when I was watching an evangelist, I was on my couch in my house on live stream. That's why we take the time to live stream. Because God can touch you anywhere you are, even sitting there on your living room couch. No matter where you are. And as that man was preaching, he started to preach the same thing. Isaiah 53, 1 Peter 2:24, Matthew chapter 8, 16, 17. And I saw for the very first time, like a vision, just... And I saw Jesus sitting, like kneeling at a wooden post. And he was taking stripes on his back and whips. And he was full of blood. And he looked at me. I couldn't see his face because it was just bloody. But he looked at me and he said, I did this so you can be made whole and you wouldn't have to suffer. And instantly, everybody say instantly. God created the world in 7 days, 6 days. He doesn't need more than an instant moment to deal with your problems. Can you say amen? Immediately, it was like an electric current. Got rushed down from the top of my head to the soles of my feet. And like that woman with the issue of blood, I felt in my body that I had been healed from that affliction. I got up, and what I used to do, all the tapping, flicking of lights, it just left me. It was like a person just left off me. Some devil just got rid. He lost his hold on me, and I was a new person. He that is in Christ has become a new creature. All things have passed away. All things become new. And I stand here today with a doctor's note, fully healed, no more diagnosis. Completely delivered, and that's a testimony of the healing power of God. That's why I'm here to tell you today on this Sunday morning that you're going to start October off the best month you've ever had in Jesus' name. Whatever depression, lift your hands all over this place. Whatever depression, lift your hands. All the whatever depression, whatever anxiety, whatever devil has been trying to torment your mind, if you want it, you can keep it and leave this place with it. But if you're fed up and you're saying in your spirit, enough is enough. I'm through with the work of the devil. Today I come into my inheritance. Then by the word of God, I prophesy every grip of the enemy comes loose on your life in Jesus' name. If you believe that, shout amen. We're ambassadors of God. Ambassadors. That means we, as an ambassador, let's say I was the Canadian ambassador to Italy. What would happen if I went to Italy? I have something called diplomatic immunity. That means I'm not ruled by the laws of that country. Whatever they, you know, whatever laws they have, if I accidentally, or even on purpose, go against the law of the land, I can actually go and file something at my embassy, and they'll exempt me. They'll exempt me completely. I'm not saying murder. Murder is a universal law. Can't just go killing everybody. But there are laws which are different in Italy, and if I were to infringe those laws, then I would have to go and write a letter to the embassy. Let's say they put me in jail or sentence you to a three-year term. The embassy would actually come deliver me the next day or the day of. Because I'm not subject to those laws. What did I read before? You are no longer citizens of this world, but of heaven. Therefore, keep setting your minds on those things which are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Stop looking at what everybody else is going through. Turn your Bibles to Psalm 91.
The 91st Psalm. I was going to say chapter, but we learned very harshly in Bible college that 90 Psalms does not have any chapters. They're Psalms. Verse 1. He who dwells in the secret place of the Most High God shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That means he who dwells under the umbrella of God is free from the rains of this world. Everybody else might be getting wet, but you won't get wet in Jesus' name. I will say of the Lord. What did David say? I will say of the Lord. That means he watched the confession of his lips. There's a bad image that's been painted of Christ in this land. That he's just some hippie Jesus that hangs around on a wheel, like not a wheelchair, a swing set, swinging, and there's doves flying all around his head. And people are singing kumbaya around a fire. And everything, just peace and love, guys. That's not what Jesus is like. The Bible says very clearly, Revelation chapter 1, his eyes are like a flame of fire. His hair is white like wool. His face is like the sun shining in its brilliance. His feet are like burnished bronze. Out of his mouth come a sharp, two-edged sword to devour all his adversaries. Well, let me tell you, my brother, that if you belong to Christ, which the Bible says if you're in Christ, then you belong to God and are heirs according to the promise. Then if God sees anyone afflict you, enemies in the world, enemies in the satanic world, realm, anything that tries to afflict you, it's like if I had a child and someone slapped my kid, he'd have to deal with me and my nice Beretta. I'd take him out, man. Well, God has that same mentality towards you. He loves you. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. We love God because he first loved us. The Bible says that God loves us, that he demonstrated that love, that while we were yet sinners, God sent his son to die on our behalf. God loves you with an everlasting love. The Bible says as high as the heavens are above the earth, so is his love to us where that believe. So when someone comes and tries to slap you, try to take you down, try to suppress you from moving forward, whether it be demonic or someone at work who's full of the devil, anointed of hell, trying to take you out, trying to get you fired, arrayed against you, well, let me tell you, the same God who takes people out of the miry clay will take you out today. The Bible says that David, he said, many are my adversaries. Many of they who say of me, there is no help for him in God. But David didn't stop there. He confessed the goodness of God and said, but my God is a crown for me. He is my glory. He's my deliverer. He's my sanctifier. He is my vindicator. And God will vindicate you in Jesus' name. Shout a better amen. I will say of my God, be careful what you confess out of your mouth. The way you speak of God is what he'll be to you. If you see him as a hard taskmaster, if you see him as a hard God to serve, you know Malachi chapter 3? The Bible talks about people who talk evil of God like that, who say, you know, it's useless to serve the Lord. There's no profit. The Bible says it, Malachi chapter 3. There is no profit in serving God. God actually got really angry with them and said, he rebuked them publicly. You who say there is no profit in keeping God's commandments. There's no purpose in keeping the commandments of the Lord. He rebuked them publicly. Then it says to those that fear my name and speak what is good. He said, I will make him like jewels in my hand. Can you say amen? The Bible says in Deuteronomy 28 that in that day all the heathens, because we obey the commandments of the Lord and do what is pleasing in his sight, all the heathens will see that you're a people called by God, and they will greatly fear you. Can you say amen? So Psalm 91, I will say of my God, what you confess is what you're entitled to possess. It's what it is. It's really as simple as that. What happened to the 10 spies in Canaan? The land truly is flowing with milk and honey. It really is a good land which the Lord is going to give us. They didn't disagree on that. That's when most people are. Wow, the Bible is full of good promises. Nevertheless, that's exactly what they said. Nevertheless, the inhabitants that dwell in there, they're like giants, man. And we're but grasshoppers in their sight. But then there were two people, Joshua and Caleb, who rose up and said, yes, there may be people in that land that are massive. Yeah, the inhabitants of Canaan, they're like the sons of Anak inside. They all stand above 8 feet, 9 feet, 10 feet. They're huge. And in our own natural ability, we would have absolutely no chance in taking possession of that land. But if God is on our side, and if the Lord be for us, we will, by all means, eat the good of that land in Jesus' name. I will say of my God, my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Surely he shall deliver you. Not maybe he will deliver you. I don't know where people get that from. I have no idea where they have this double-minded perception of who God is. I have no idea. You got to change your mentality. Because as a man thinks in himself, so is he. If you keep thinking poverty, keep thinking defeat, keep thinking loss, keep thinking things are going to be hard, well, the Bible says the expectation of the righteous will prevail. But if you put it in your heart that my God is a good God, he is my healer, he is my deliverer, he is my rock, he is my fortress, he is my God in whom I trust. He didn't fail Joshua, he didn't fail Moses, he didn't fail anybody in the Old Testament. He never failed Paul, he never failed John, he never failed Jesus. And my God will work on my behalf, and he shall not fail me. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved.
Well, he's just trying to get you excited.
It works for me. God does not show partiality. But in any nation, the one who does what is right and comes to him, he will save them. He will heal them. God is not double-minded. Matter of fact, he harshly rebukes double-minded people. James chapter 1, let him that lacks wisdom ask of God, who gives to all generously, without reproach, but let him ask in faith. Glad one person knows the Bible. Let him ask in faith, not doubting. For he that doubts is like the waves of the sea, tossed to and fro, up and down, unstable, double-minded in all his ways. Let not that man expect to receive anything from the Lord. Everybody believes God can do it. But most people don't understand that God will do it. You can ask the heathen on the streets, hey, do you think God can heal someone of cancer? Obviously. Do you even serve God? No, I don't go to church. I'm actually a Satanist. But I still believe that God, because everybody knows God can. Even the devils believe and tremble. It's not about knowing if God can. It's about knowing that God will, and God will for me. Can you say amen? Amen? That man with the leprosy. The Bible says, Matthew chapter 8, he came to Jesus begging, worshiping him. Lord, if you're willing, you can make him clean. And I love that guy. Because of that one question that he asked, it cleared out a bunch of bad theology from everyone else to ever ask or to ever have. He said, Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Jesus, what did he do? Now, my son. This leprosy is to result in the glory of God eventually. Just keep taking. Hey, Dr. Luke, do you still have that ointment we give people with leprosy? Here, apply this 3 times a day. Apply it to the affected area, and it'll make the pain a little easier. Things might not fall off in the due time. You might keep your fingers a few more years than previously assumed. It's not what he did. What did he do? He stretched forth his hand and touched the man with leprosy. And immediately he was cleansed from everything that he had. He didn't wonder, oh, if I touch him, am I going to get sick? Because leprosy is contagious. Am I going to get sick if I touch this guy? No, he didn't care. Because the Bible says God anointed Jesus Christ with the Holy Ghost and with power. He went about doing good, healing all, who were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He didn't care if the man had leprosy, SARS, or stage 4 cancer. He wasn't afraid of that disease. The disease got afraid of him, and at the touch of the master, it evacuated that man's body, and he stood up whole. I declare and decree every sickness, every disease. Lift your hands in this place. Put your hand on the diseased area, the afflicted area. In Jesus' name, every disease, every heart problem, every mental problem, every disease of the blood, every disease of the mind, every disease in the bones, every disease of the flesh, in the name of Jesus Christ, comes under divine judgment now in Jesus' name. By His stripes, you are healed. Shout amen if you believe that. He will deliver you from the snare of the fowler and from the perilous pestilence. What does that mean? Deadly diseases.
Well, I know that God can heal me of a cough, but it's a little more than a cough. I have lung cancer, stage 4. Doesn't matter what it is. Doesn't matter what it is. That's why Paul said, why should it be thought incredible to you that God should raise the dead? Why is it incredible to you that God should heal stage 4 cancer? Why is it thought? I've had people in my family die from cancer. I wasn't saved at the time. If I had been saved, I would have preached to them this doctrine, and I believe they would have been healed. Because of what? Ignorance. My people are destroyed and die. If I had been saved and knew what I knew today, man, I want to take my Bible and just go slap the preachers that preached to some of my relatives that died. Take my Bible, knock them out. Read it next time so people aren't dying under your hand. You know, people are going to be, pastors, preachers are going to be held accountable before God as to what, that's why the Bible says, let not many of you become teachers, knowing that teachers will incur a stricter judgment. That's true. Yeah, telling people. Anyways, I won't get into that. As you can see, I'm frustrated with that. But I don't understand why people do that. Why people actually come against this doctrine. Why people come against the doctrine that God is good, wants you well, not dead. But brother, how many of you know? They all sound the same. How many of you know that unless you're sick, you won't be able to witness to that nurse? Really? What's stopping your healthy legs from walking into a hospital now and start preaching to nurses, laying hands on the sick, getting them recovered? That's a much greater testimony than the nurse seeing time after time Christians coming in, holding on to the anchor and dying and dying and dying after one after another. Jesus is not an anchor in the storm. Get that out. Jesus is a destroyer of the storms. There's not one storm Jesus came and faced with. And they got into the boat, and they all huddled around the center of the boat and took buckets and started taking the water that filled the boat and threw it over. And they huddled and just got into a group and started praying. No, Jesus got up, and He rebuked the storms, and the sea became calm. And the storms became perfectly still. Can you say amen? Amen? From the deadly pestilence. He shall cover you with His feathers. Under His wings you shall take refuge. His truth, His word, shall be your shield. That's why the Bible says, Ephesians 6:16, above every other piece of the armor of God, take up the shield of faith. And how do you take up the shield of faith? Faith comes by hearing the word of God. The Bible says in Proverbs that we are to keep His word ever before us. Let them all be fixed upon your lips so that your trust would be in the Lord. I have instructed you today, even you. Let His word be constantly exposed to you. Oh, brother, we're just praying that God gives us faith. Pray all you want. God does not give you faith through prayer. The Bible already says faith comes by hearing and hearing the word of God. That's why we have a faithless generation. That's why the disciples, when they brought to Jesus that boy who was demon-possessed, and the demon often took him and struck him rigid and shaking and convulsing, foaming at the mouth. They said, the father of that boy said, Master, we brought my boy to your disciples, but they could not cast it out. Not they didn't try, not they would not. They could not cast out the devil. Then Jesus, what did He say? Well, that's because I didn't will it. I actually have a plan and purpose for this. No, you faithless and hard of hearing generation.
How long shall I be with you? How long should I put up with you? You know, people hate this type of preaching. Most ministers actually hate this type of preaching because we're getting into the face of the people. But look, someone's got to do it or else this nation's going to keep being politically correct. Keep being, trying to unoffend anybody. We don't want to offend anybody. I heard that they're taking crosses off churches in Edmonton so as not to offend anyone. Let me tell you, my brother and sister, the offense, the cross is an offense to many, but it is the saving power of God to those that believe and put their trust in it. I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ because it saved me, because it healed me, and because now I have God as my Father, Jesus as my brother, and the Holy Ghost and fire.
Brother, we just ask that you keep it below 30 vessels.
You preach the wrong preacher. It's like a fire shut up in my bones. That when I don't feel like preaching like this, I grab the mic and it becomes in me like a fire. I can't stay. I grow weary. I gotta get up and proclaim it from the mountaintops that the Lord is good and His mercy is everlasting. Forty plus different authors. Not one of them mentions sickness as a gift of God. Not one of them saying that mental disease, depression is God's way of teaching. All of them recognize them. What happened to that woman in Luke chapter 13? Jesus walks into the synagogue, verse 10 through 18. He sees a woman who had a spirit of infirmity, not who had the spirit of God. Who had a spirit of infirmity there in the church. And she was bent double. Had rheumatoid arthritis, what we would call it. But Jesus didn't say, oh, she had rheumatoid arthritis. Here's some pills. No. Had a spirit of infirmity. Bent over double. And the Bible says, he, knowing that she had been in that condition a long time. Woman, you are loose. She didn't even ask. It just irked Jesus. It killed him to be in the same place where disease was prevalent. How I feel when I see someone walking around Montreal or wherever city I'm in and they're walking like this, they're 18 years old and they can't walk properly. It kills me. It burns me to my innermost being, because that is not God's will for your life. That's exactly Satan's plan, to disfigure the child of God created in the image of God so that he can make a fool of you. Isaiah 14. When we're all going to stand and walk by Satan, defeated, we're going to say, is this the one that made the world an inhabited place? Is this the one who made people's lives so hard? Is that what he looks like? Had I known what he looked like now, I would have lived differently. That's what I'm trying to get you in your spirit. The devil is a defeated foe. Colossians 2, 14 and 15. That Jesus Christ took away the handwriting of requirements, the certificate of debt of our sins, away from us. He nailed it to the cross. He put it on a tree. Then the Bible says, he disarmed principalities and powers. Not he will disarm them. He already disarmed them 2,000 years ago at the cross. The Bible says he died. But on the third day, he had to borrow a tomb because he knew he wasn't going to stay there very long. On the third day, very early in the morning, two women called Mary came to the tomb of Joseph of Arimathea and looked in and said, wow, why is the stone removed? And where is the body of Jesus? Then finally, two men dressed in white stood by them and said, why seek ye the living amongst the dead? This Jesus, he's not here any longer. He's gone just like he said he will. And then the Bible says in Acts 1:8, Jesus ascending to heaven, he said that, do not fear.
It is to your advantage that I go away. John 16. For if I do not go away, I will not send the other helper. But if I go, he will come. He will guide you into all truth. And the same spirit which raised me from the dead, it's going to live in you. The same authority I had over sickness. The same authority I had over disease. The same authority I had over dead bodies. That when I said, Lazarus, come forth, the irreversible effect of death had to be reversed. That same authority I'm giving to you. I'm giving to you, and I'm giving to everyone who will call upon my name. Can you say amen? Stand up on your feet. If the musicians want to come up, play something happy. I know you can, that's why I said it. One time I went to a church, play something happy. Okay. I regret. I know I won't regret it today. You guys are great. Why do I do that? Play something happy. Because the Bible says, in his presence is what? Fullness of joy. You can't be depressed and get your miracle. You can't be sad and rise above your affliction. It takes joy. For the joy of the Lord shall be your strength. Depression will suck you dry. Depression is the devil's ploy to get you to give up and quit. But today, God's going to put a new note of joy. He's going to fill your mouth with joy and your tongue with joyful singing. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow you from today in Jesus' mighty name. Surely he'll deliver you. Verse 5. You shall not be afraid. Not you should not. You shall not be afraid. Joshua 1:9. Do not be discouraged, nor be dismayed. Only be strong and courageous. How can you be strong and courageous? Fill yourself up with this word. The Bible says a wise man is strong, and a man of knowledge increases strength. And the Bible says the seed of the word is the wisdom of God. So as you feed yourself with the word of God, you know that the wisdom of God will be downloaded into your spirit, and a wise man is strong. And as you increase the knowledge of this word, not just head knowledge, but revelation knowledge, then you'll understand that the devil's under your feet. Jesus Christ is the victor, and I have the power of God abiding in me. Can you say amen?
Victory is mine. Victory is mine.
One more second. But sing that. That's a good song. I like you guys. You shall not be afraid of the terror by night, nor of the arrow that flies by day, nor of its pestilence that walks in darkness. Don't be afraid of the disease. I don't care what they come out with today. Doesn't matter if it's H1N1, H2N2, H3N3. Doesn't matter if it's SARS-1, SARS-2, SARS-3. Doesn't matter if Zika. Let me tell you, if Zika bites you, it's going to fly away saying there's power in the blood. Let me tell you, because the blood of Jesus Christ applied to the doorpost gives you the authority to thwart off every agent of death, every agent of sickness, every agent of disease. Can you say amen? Don't be afraid.
Oh, brother, I'm going for my flu shot this year because,
you know, more people die from the flu shot every year than actually die from the flu. That's a fact. And you're paying for it, too. Pharmaceutical industries don't want you healed. Pharmaceutical industries, they want you on pills or else they go out of business. They want you sucking dry those needles, vaccines. Well, I mean, these days, when they vaccine a child, it's like cocktails of 20, 30 different chemicals in one vaccine. It's an eight pound child. That's a big child. It's like a 7 pound child. How are you putting 30 milliliters of cocktail vaccines into his bloodstream? No wonder they start, you know, autistic and whatever. We didn't have that many people struggling with autism in the 40s, 30s, because they weren't getting all these ploys of the devil. Don't be afraid. Everybody say, I won't be afraid. You are not ordained by God to be sick. You are ordained and given authority by Jesus Christ to crush the effects of sickness and disease in anybody that you would come in contact with. For they that believe in my name,
they will cast out devils. They shall lay hands on the sick, and the sick shall recover. Not they might recover. The Bible says if they drink any deadly poison, if they come in contact with any deadly disease, it shall not harm them. Acts chapter 28. Paul on the island of Malta gets bitten with a venomous snake. The people of that land begin to look at him and say, man, this guy's going to die. And after they waited a long while, expecting him to die, Paul just shook the snake off his hand, and he was still alive and well. And the Bible says the people of that land started saying, surely this guy is a god. Surely he is a god. There's no way he should be alive. We've seen people get bitten by that snake. Within 30 minutes, they're dead. Let me tell you, everybody expecting you to die, every satanic assault destined for you to die before your time, the Bible says, I will live and not die, and I will declare the works of the Lord. If that sounds like you, take 10 seconds and shout unto God with a voice of triumph. A thousand may fall at your side and 10,000 at your right hand, but it shall not come near you. Say, it shall not come near me. Only with your eyes shall you look. I love the Bible. You don't want to serve the Lord? It's fine by me. I preach to you. I pray for you. You don't want to do it? Then eat the affliction of the wicked. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord. I'm going to enjoy the inheritance of the glorious saints. I'm not going to be shortcut on anything that God has purchased for me at the cross. I'm going to eat of the good of the land, and blessings and mercy shall follow me every day of my life. You'll see the reward of the wicked. Why? Because you've made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my dwelling place. No evil shall befall me. Say that. No evil shall befall me. You know, the Bible says the righteous shall be delivered from trouble, but it shall go to the wicked instead. Lift your hands all over this place. Everything the enemy's aligned against you to try and take you out, discourage you. Not only does the Lord reward you by delivering you from that trouble, but it gets transferred into the hands of those who wanted to see you die in Jesus' mighty name. Shout amen. Amen. You shall, verse 13. Actually, let's do verse 10, 11. For he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against a stone. Not one stone's allowed to stop my way. If God be for me, I'm moving forward, never backward, constant progression, never regression in Jesus' name. For he shall give his angels charge. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra. You shall tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent. You will trample underfoot. Say, the devil's under my feet. He shall call upon me, and I will deliver him. With long life shall I satisfy him and then show him my salvation. Can you say amen? Very quickly, with everyone's heads bowed and eyes closed. If you've been struggling, there's been an attack against your home. There's been an attack against your body. The devil, if he had it his way, you'd have been dead 3 months ago. But somehow God spared you. It wasn't for him to spare you to live a lukewarm, dead Christian life. But it's that you might be filled with power today, that you might be delivered. The Bible says many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. The Bible says today is the day to be delivered. Now is the appointed time from God to be delivered, to be saved, to be healed, to be set free. So if you're here today and you need God to do something in your life, that today, October 1st, 2017, will mark a new beginning for you, will mark a new chapter for you. You're going to flip the leaf over, and you're going to start writing your own book from this day forward in Jesus' mighty name. If you're looking, not looking, but you have faith before God that today is your last battle with the devil, and from today you rise up a victor. You rise up one, like the Bible says, to tread upon your problems, to tread upon the serpent and the scorpion. Very quickly, if you need God to do a miracle for you today, very quickly, I want you to come out of your seats and line up at this altar. I'm going to pray for you. Let the bold come first, and those with courage, come first. Your courage will encourage others. Go ahead and sing it. As you come to the altar, lift your hands already and start thanking God that you're coming out in Jesus' name. Come on, come, come, come. Hallelujah. Very quickly, with everyone's hands raised, I'm going to come around and lay hands on everyone. Try and make like some lines or something so I don't have to like pray for the same person 8 times, not knowing. And when I lay my hands on you, I want you already to have your hands laid and your expectancy in your heart set on God is not going to take me out. But God has delivered me at the cross at Calvary, that I've been transferred out of the power of darkness, that God's disarmed every prince of power and every power that has been aligned against my destiny. God has already delivered me from the grasp of the enemy. So very quickly, as they sing that song, lift your hands and get a tone of joy.